Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you everyone for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into a store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, "I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport." Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. He said that everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, "When was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period?" Whenever someone gets hooked, they go broke. I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have to close their business because no one wants to work for them. So I asked him, "Why would someone want to work for you if you make them wear a scam all day and they need to get a gene therapy to come in the building?" He said he can make employees even take a microchip. I told him, "Well, good luck getting your unemployment." He said, "I don't want to die from getting Rona." I told him, "Don't worry, you will die from the Rona gene therapy." What a rube. You really have to be a stupid if you think you need the same gene therapy every 6 weeks to stop a disease that has a cure rate of 99.9997%. There was a guy that got the Rona vaccine. He died in about 10 hours. The doctor said it could have been much worse if he did not get the gene therapy. How much worse would it be than death? Is the CDC going to arrest you in your next life? Is God going to say, "I was going to let you into heaven, but since you did not get the anti-human gene therapy, you have to go see the big guy downstairs"? There is a big thing with liberals now. They say there is no such thing as gender. Seriously. They say, "I hate gender." How do you hate gender? It is like saying, "I hate numbers." All numbers should be the same. These liberals. They think that men can now get pregnant. Yes, it is true. They think Donald Trump just banned men from getting pregnant. But Biden somehow legalized men having babies. These jokers think seriously that eggs somehow can chase down sperm and get them pregnant. Liberals also say there are over 1,000 genders now. My only question about all these new genders being made up as we speak: what do these new private parts look like? I just want to see what these other parts look like in case one replaces my junk. On the planet I live on, you either have a hole, or a hole puncher. But the liberals say now if you are comfortable in the private parts you were born with, You are a bad person. Why would you spend your life hating yourself because you were born with or without junk? They call it being cisgender. They think if you have a hole puncher, and are not sad about it, that you are an evil Trump supporter. Like you live on Macho Mountain. Like I spend all day swinging it around. I don't spend my entire day thinking about my epic junk. Okay, I am going to leave it right here. Remember, if a store requires a vaccine passport, a gene therapy, or wear a scam on your face, please go someplace else. Order online. Do not give these companies the satisfaction. If we all stop buying from these tyrants and go someplace else, we can fight this. The more we comply, the more tyranny they will give us. Peace out, my freedom-loving friends.
Good morning, and welcome to Everlasting Covenant Free from Paul Radio. We are a fellowship on Sundays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and noon Eastern. And we are here for an hour and a half. We look forward to chatting with you, fellowshipping with you, or you just tuning in and listening. You may call area code 319-527-6208 to listen and join the discussion, or you can also listen live on freedomizerradio.live. And we study the old path referred to in Jeremiah 6:16, where it says, "This is what the Father says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." And as you look around all over our society today, you can see this is still true and even more prolific today. So as that little wonderful infomercial that our radio, Freedomizer Radio host Proof Negative produced, very well points out with a bit of slapstick humor. So we do this broadcast because we want to walk in the old path and study the prophets, the lost books, and the words of the Messiah only, free of the lying pen of the scribes referred to in Jeremiah 8:8, where it says, "How can you say we are wise and the law of the Father is with us?" When in fact, the lying pen of the scribes has produced a deception. We study free of the opposing gospel, according to Paul, free of the religious corruption, and also free of the influence of the Roman Catholic Church. So you may join us weekly on Sundays at noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to our fellowship, where we expose religion and explore the nature of the Father and his ways. So shalom, and as always, be sure and research for yourself. We have been comparing side by side the Messiah's words to Paul's words as evidence of why we say what we have just said in our introduction. And we have left off at Mark 13:22 compared to Acts 1:21. Or actually, those two are on the side of the Messiah. And the contradictory verse we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 12:12. So false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Acts 1:21. Of those men which have companied with us all this time, that Master Yahusha went in and among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And that's Peter saying that. Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles. Paul never qualified to be an apostle, period. So, once again, Acts 1:21, of these men which have companied with us all the time that Master Yahushua went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same that he was taken up from us. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection?" So what Peter is talking about there, a lot of times things need to be read once, twice, sometimes even thrice for it to penetrate what is meant. And then you have to open your heart and allow the truth of that to come in and stop all untruth that you have formerly believed due to tradition and due to the religion that you grew up in, etc. And then that's the pathway to coming out of Babylon. So if it is true that these stops must be made in choosing the apostle that would replace Judas to make 12 apostles, then we know for a fact Paul cannot be named as an apostle. Number one, Matthias was put in that 12th spot. Number two, Paul did not meet these criteria. These criteria are in this very same book, the particular book of Acts, but Acts being in the bigger book called the Bible of the New Testament, many argue that every word in the Bible is true based on one of Paul's epistles. And they do not realize that that very verse says all words God breathed is useful for instruction, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't say that every word in the Bible is useful for instruction. It's every word God breathed or Yahuwah breathed using replacement name theology. So that right there commands the reader to determine what words were Yahuwah breathed. So if we know that Yahuwah breathed these words in Mark and in Acts, then we know where the leaven lies, where the false doctrine lies. So it takes a little bit of work, and the main work is to undo the what's called cognitive dissonance in our lives, in our minds. And that mainly is going to be removed by the Father. He chooses who sees and who doesn't see, who's able for that to be removed and who is not. The biggest stumbling block is going to be that cognitive dissonance. Well, my mom, my dad brought me to Sunday school starting at a very young age. Every Sunday morning for years upon years upon years, it turned into decades, and now I'm raising my children in Sunday school. And in Sunday school, we learned that Paul is an apostle. He said so, did he not? So very few are going to stop at Acts 1:21 and say, wait a minute, this name's the 12th apostle. Revelations clearly states there are only 12 pillars upon which one of the names of each of the apostles is. Who is it that says that there are many apostles and that apostleship is a gift? Well, Paul, by virtue of naming himself as an apostle at the beginning of almost every epistle he ever wrote, had a dog in the fight, so to speak, to say that this is a gift that many may may be bestowed upon many, both to make himself popular in bestowing this gift on any number of his followers, but also for them to accept him as an apostle when it very clearly states, how are you going to get around that if you're an enemy of the Father? And it very clearly states there are only 12 apostles and that the 12th one needed to have these criteria, that they walked with the Master Yahushua, went in as the Master Yahushua went in and among us. This isn't talking about a road to Damascus experience. This is talking about somebody who walked with Yahushua while he was yet on the earth, discipling the nations. And from the baptism of John, it tells you when the starting time had to occur. So there again, that throws out the road to Damascus experience. Unto that same day, that he was taken up from us. So it tells you the 12th apostle needed to have walked on the earth with Yahusha as Yahusha walked on the earth from the baptism of John until the time he was taken up. So playing devil's advocate, if this road to Damascus experience was real, which would require throwing out the master's own words to watch out for one that says that I am come in the sky or in the desert. I'm sorry, not the sky, but watch out for the one that says I am come in the desert or in the secret chambers. And that's can be found in Matthew 24:24-27. And so if we threw that out, which we cannot throw that out because those are Yahusha's words, right? But if we play devil's advocate and we ignore that like the Christian church does, and we say we're moving on to our next stop, our next yield sign. The yield sign then again happens because in Acts 1:21 we're told this 12th apostle that replaces Judas who betrayed the Messiah must have walked with the Messiah from the time of the baptism of John the Baptist until the taking up of the Messiah into the sky. So if Paul met the Messiah, he met the Messiah after the Messiah had resurrected. Okay? And in order for that to have been a real event, the Messiah would have to contradict his own words to beware of the one coming on a in the desert. The road to Damascus is on a desert road. So I feel like a huge advantage that that Satan has in this whole mystery being solved of what the great deception is the fact that critical thinking skills have been removed in the public school system. We're told what to think. We're not told how to think. So that enables the enemy to get a foothold in because we go to church, the pastor tells us what to think, where we already don't know how to think. We come across a verse like this, it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't even tell us, it doesn't even appear to be a yield sign to us. It's just, you know, a verse in the book of Acts, moving right along. We've got all of these epistles from Paul in the New Testament. So we just take them at their word to be true because of where they're located instead of saying, wait a minute, who approved these books to be in the Biblios in the first place, to be in the canon in the first place? Bible simply means rule book of instruction. Canon simply means rule book of instruction. Who determined that those books were allowed to be part of the rule book of instruction? If it were not people that had scruples, critical thinking skills, weren't tainted by cognitive dissonance, their own agendas, and I would even argue that they did have scruples and critical thinking skills. They just had an agenda that they wanted to build a church that became a financial institution to attract people to a message that was enticing them to come every Sunday to all of the different branches across the world. And it's this empire that's prophesied about in the book of Daniel that would be built on the flatteries of the evil one. And that's what we're finding today that we're living with. So long way around to finally getting to the contradictory verse in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and wonders. So we're warned about Mark 13:22. False Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. But take heed, behold, I have foretold all. I have foretold you all things. I have told you ahead of time. So when this one comes that brags about coming in signs and wonders, you know not to listen to him. But why then was this empire built upon this very one that announced very clearly in plain words, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and wonders? 2 Corinthians 12:12. There it is right there, the answer. But because it lies in the Bible and people consider the Bible itself to be holy when there is only one holy, and that being the Father. So the very fact that there are those that hold the Bible as holy in and of itself from beginning to end, you have a contradiction in the Father in heaven. So many contradictions that we're exposing, and we are only 23 minutes into the program. Next, let's look at, thus saith Yahuwah, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. And that's Galatians 3:2. So there again we have a contradiction. Thus saith Yahuwah, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. That's Ezekiel 44:9. I have to go ahead and insert here that I, holding everything up to the light, because as we also read at the very beginning of the program, Jeremiah 8:8, the scribes lied. The scribes lied. The scribes are the ones that wrote things down. So even if every book in the Bible were from the Father in heaven, we have a problem because the scribes lied. So for people to say, ah, blasphemy, you're coming against the, you're coming against, they call him God and Jesus Christ, by stating that there are books in the Bible that are not from him. Not only are there books in the Bible not from him, the Father warned us in advance that the scribes lied. That's in Jeremiah 8:8. That's in a book, in a verse, in a chapter of the Bible. So don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. There are things in the Bible that we need to be wary of. And one of the things that I have questions about, I need answers on, and I'm humble enough to say I don't know everything. I'm not your teacher today. I've connected some dots, and I want to connect with other people that are wanting to connect dots. So I want to know what circumcision was like back in the day, because what we have today seems extremely barbaric. I would be extremely offended if somebody wanted to take the same parts of my daughter's body, and in some barbaric nations they do circumcise females. Why is it just the males? I've heard that in biblical times circumcision was quite different, that it was just like a small nick, whereas today it's much more horrific. The reason I question this, many of you know, if you followed my program, that my daughter had a vaccine injury at age 15 months that caused me to question the whole vaccine industry. And so when you get into groups that are exposing problems with big pharma, very oftentimes they will go hand in hand with groups that are like the group, what is it called, Unstained Men, the group of, oh, no, I'm sorry, blood-stained men, the group Blood-Stained Men, that sometimes they'll do rallies and walk the streets and try and get the word out on circumcision and how it's desensitizing men, and women become the inheritors of that curse in the sex life that goes on between husband and wife. And so, you know, I see both sides of that. It is a religious belief, obviously, Judeo-Christian belief to circumcise, and it's also done by Christians that don't believe it's necessary because they follow Paul, but they do it for what they think are cleanliness reasons. And I just would like to throw it out there that that's an unresolved question for me. It's not, I don't know if, yes, indeed, we should circumcise because of this verse in Ezekiel. Or was this verse in Ezekiel part of the fall out of the lying pit of the scribes, that something got horribly tainted in the scripture, causing men even today to be maimed in their private part? Is this really something that the Father, that Yahuwah wants? So I do know that when the first step in finding truth is asking the question and seeking it. So that is all I just wanted to throw that out there, that I do have that question on that issue. So next, we're going to look at Matthew 9:27-30. I give sight to the blind and cast out demons. Well, the very opposite is true of Paul. He blinded me. That's Acts 9:7-9. And put a demon in my flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7. So unless you're really paying attention, you're not, you know, if you find the New Testament is confusing, then perhaps this is why your spirit is picking up on these contradictions, but you really haven't notated where it says what versus what. And so hopefully this side-by-side comparison can help you out with that. Secondly, Mark chapter 3, verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. So there again, Team Yahuwah, he heals and he gives the power to cast out devils. Team Paul, he blinds and he gives people devils. You know, I mean, how ridiculous that this man is the leader of the Christian church. It's amazing to me that we've fallen for that. But listen, I fell for it too. So no judgment. We just need to come out of Babylon at this point. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 16. A false witness rise up any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yahuwah, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make different inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So basically it's a serious, serious infraction to lie about the Father in heaven. Good place for a break here.
Looking for something different? looking for something fun. Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word. We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
All righty, we are back in our next verse comparison that we're going to do. Is going to be Matthew 24:5, along with Matthew 23:9, Team Yahuwah. And the comparison contradictory text is going to come from 1 Corinthians 4:15 and 3:17. So the Father, the Messiah says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and shall deceive many. And that can be taken two ways, by the way. Many shall say that I am Messiah. Many will attest to the Messiah being who he is, but will use him to deceive many. It's probably a version of that that you haven't ever thought about before, but hold that thought. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called teachers, for one is your teacher, Messiah. What does the contradictory text say in 1 Corinthians 4:15? I became your father in Yahusha, Messiah. Be imitators of me. So there you go. He is attesting to the Messiah and using the Messiah's credibility to validate himself at the very moment in time, at the very same moment in time, he is contradicting the Messiah's words. So not playing fair at all, but using that technique to deceive many. Philippians 3:17, he says, pattern your lives after mine. So he's putting himself in the Messiah's place, in fact. So Paul was the first corrupter of the doctrines of Jesus. Do you know who said that? I'm going to take a look at the dashboard and see if we have anybody. Okay, nobody out there in Radio Land asking to chat yet this morning, but Thomas Jefferson is the author of that quote. Paul was the first corrupter of the doctrines of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Author of the Declaration of Independence and third President of the United States. Some accuse me of being a deist, but nothing is further from the truth. I'm a follower of the man from Nazareth, and sometimes I wonder if I'm his only true follower in the world. And believe me, I have days like that too. Not to say that I'm following him perfectly at all, but I have exposed, and it has been exposed to me, who the anti-Messiah is, and I desire to follow the Messiah only. You cannot serve two masters. So it becomes clear why the Messiah just pounded that into the sand. You cannot have two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will cling to the one, i.e. Paul, and by doing so, despise the other. So if you've got two opposing sides, clearly opposite, you have to choose one, and in choosing one, you let go of the other. Paul and the Messiah are opposing each other over and over and over again, as we will continue to see. So I'm not sure what this is. I'm going to go ahead and read it, though. It's in my file on opposition verses in the Bible, but this is George Bernard Shaw. There's not one word of Pauline Christianity in the characteristic utterances of Jesus. There has really never been a more monstrous imposition perpetrated than the imposition of the Paul's soul upon the soul of Jesus. It's now easy to understand how the Christianity of Jesus was suppressed by the police and the church, while Paulinism overran the whole Western civilized world, which was at the time the Roman Empire, and was adopted by it as its official faith. Interesting. That is interesting. So Paul was a self-appointed apostle, 1 Timothy 2:7, who wasn't qualified to be an apostle, Acts 1:21 through 22, lied as an apostle, Ephesians 1:1, Revelations 2:2, and this doesn't state it, but also Romans 3:7 and 2 Corinthians 12:16, and not accepted as an apostle by Yahushua Messiah, Revelation 21:14. Even his own conversion testimony is contradicting each other. Acts 9:7, Acts 22:9, Acts 26:14. A matter is resolved by two or three witnesses, Matthew 18:16. Here we have three different verses giving witness about a conversion, showing that it never happened, contradicting each other. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, Acts 26:14b. Do you really think Yahushua, while speaking to Paul in Hebrew, is quoting the Olympian deity Dionysius from the Bacchae, B-A-C-C-H-A-E, written by Euripides? I don't think so. And this particular file brings out a very good point. It's hard for you to kick against the goads is a quote from the, 403 BC play written by Euripides, Euripides. The play was called The Bacchae once again, and this very same quote is in that play, and it's quoting a deity, Dionysius. So how much of a slap in the face is that to say that Jesus quoted another god in a play from the 400 BC? Albert Schweitzer, Paul did not desire to know Christ. Paul shows us with what complete indifference the earthly life of Jesus was regarded. What is the significance for our faith and for our religious life? The fact that the gospel of Paul is different from the gospel of Jesus, the attitude which Paul himself takes up towards the gospel of Jesus, is that he does not repeat it in the words of Jesus and does not appeal to its authority. The fateful thing is that the Greek, the Catholic, and the Protestant theologies all contain the gospel of Paul in a form which does not continue the gospel of Jesus, but displaces it. And I've definitely noticed this as well. Some might accuse me of being Hebrew roots. I'm not. In fact, when I have taken the time to enter Hebrew roots groups, thinking that I might find people there that I may bond with, I have found that Hebrew roots people are very Paulinian. And when you point out these things to them about the contradictions in Paul and the Messiah, they will block you just like the Christians will. And they won't have discourse with you. That, to me, is a telltale sign of somebody that's not willing to dig in deep and look at truth. Because what are you threatened by? If you are in truth, what are you threatened by in taking a look at the contradictions that I have discovered and posing your argument for them? Surely you've done this digging yourself. Or did you just take the Jesuit high priest word for it that are behind the Catholic Church, that are behind the canon and the men that sat down and approved of what books go in the Bible and what books do not? Because if that be your standard for choosing the canon, which if the Bible is your standard, that is your standard, then you have a very unholy, ironically, standard for deciding what the Father said and what he did not. And it's just irony that the word holy is put on the Bible. It's like that verse in the Bible calling black white and calling white black. You have much that is holy in the Bible, but this is the problem. Leaven is mixed in with the true bread that falls as manna from heaven. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. That being said, when you digest bread that was not from the Father, you get into huge trouble. You move away from knowing who he is. Paul, he's in the Bible too. He is the fellow who theologized, that's a very awkward word, Christ almost out of Christianity. Look out for him. That was Robert Frost, the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, 1924, 31, 37, and 43. So next we can take a look at First Corinthians 3:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:20, unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by any means gain some. In other words, he's willing to lie, cheat, and steal to win people over to his way of thinking. That is what he's saying. He's going to become a Jew to the Jews, become a Gentile to the Gentiles. And he admits in 2 Corinthians 12:16 that he caught us with trickery, deceit, guile in his mouth. All throughout the book of Proverbs, it says to watch out for men that have guile in their mouth, that have deceit in their speech. And yet we have embraced Paul as a society. So next we can look at, and I just lost my place. Just a moment. Next we can look at Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. I'm the apostles to the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. I magnify my ministry. So let's read that again, Acts 15:6. Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And then Paul turns around and says in Romans 11:13, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. He wasn't intended to be the apostle to the Gentiles, as Peter rightly states. So then we can next look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. Whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And I don't have a scripture to go along with that. So I'm not sure what the point of that was in my file, but whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So it's just an odd thing. You know, I'm sure the Paulinians would defend against the oddness of that, but at any rate. For by grace you are saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now about a faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Did you know, in Greek mythology, a charis, Greek zippus, pronounced kitaris or grace, is one of three or more goddesses of charm, beauty, nature, human creativity, goodwill, and fertility, together known as the cherites or cherubs of grace, faith, charity, and hope. Did you know that? Okay, so the Messiah never, ever said... What did the Messiah never ever say that we hear Paul saying? This is my next command. Go unto all the world and steal the pagan holidays. For my name's sake, redeem all the pagan monuments and symbols. Plaster them all over your churches. Messiah never ever said, though ye may be many denominations, you are all one in Christianity. The Messiah also never ever said, be called Christians first at Antioch. The Messiah never ever said, I will also send unto you Paul, and he will lead you into all truth. The Messiah also never ever said, call no pork unclean. The Messiah also never ever said, the feast days are abolished. And finally, the Messiah never ever said, the Sabbath is only for the Jews. So, this is another good place for a break. We're right at the top of the hour, and so we will take a break. And you may notice that you may need your own discernment, even on our breaks.
Thanks for stepping into umpire, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, I'm an English teacher, not a phys ed teacher, but I'll do my best.
You'll do fine. Just call the kids safe or out. And keep an eye on them right there. They've been trying to steal.
Who, him?
No, we use the kids' preferred pronouns. He's on second. I mean them.
There's only one kid there. Who's them?
They are.
He is?
No, they is. He's on second.
You mean her?
Don't call me her. I'm a him.
That's a he. The kid on third uses she.
He uses she?
No, she uses she.
And you want me to keep my eye on them?
Yes.
But especially him.
No, keep your eye on them. They've been trying to steal.
Who's they? Him, her, and him?
No, not him and her. Just them. Their pronoun is there. And they're right there.
I'm an English teacher. I get pronouns. That's him, her, and him.
No, that's them, him, and her.
Excuse me, but now I identify as him.
He's gender fluid. He used to be she, but now she's him.
Huh?
And I'd like to change my pronouns to Z, Zim, and Zer.
Now Z wants you to call Zer Zim.
What's a Zim?
Don't call Zim a what? Now Z is offended.
Look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'll call them by their names. Kids, what are your names?
I'm Addison.
I'm Addison. Addison.
Their parents are millennials. They named them all Addison.
Well, why do I have to use preferred pronouns?
Because gender is a social construct, and I was born this way.
How can he be born that way if gender is a social construct?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't question their identity, or his, or Zer's. Just follow the rules and call them they.
Who makes these rules?
They do.
This they?
No, not that they. They.
Huh?
They will get you fired if you don't use the right pronoun. They will kick you off of Twitter if you question their beliefs. They cancel comedians to defend them. They get rid of professors with different points of view.
But who's they?
Nobody knows who they are. We just have to listen to them.
Hey, if you liked that video, you can help us make more videos like that by joining the Babylon Bee YouTube channel for just $4.99 a month.
Become an exclusive subscriber. You get videos, you get full-length podcasts that are often twice as long as the one that you've been seeing.
Do it now. Smash the join button and you can become a member, a Bee Superfan, and you'll be a lot cooler than everyone else.
Here in front of the Midnight Mission, a homeless shelter in Los Angeles, Skid Row, where they serve up to 3,000 meals a day and house 250 people a night. We're asking the homeless population in this area, what are you doing to stay safe from the coronavirus? Do you know what the coronavirus is?
No, I don't.
What do you know about the coronavirus?
That there's bacteria in the air.
I think it's a combination of tuberculosis, some other stuff.
Do you know what the coronavirus is, ma'am?
Well, it supposedly said that it was some kind of virus discovered by a scientist, kind of doctor or so, and they named it either after him.
It's in the air, in your face. So we have to take care of ourselves. If not, we're going to die.
Have you heard about any homeless hotels? The governor, Gavin Newsom, said that he was providing thousands of beds for the homeless. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
Nothing.
Just now hearing it from you.
You're just now hearing it. Okay. Have you heard anything about the homeless hotels?
Yes.
Very good. Why didn't you choose to go into the homeless hotel?
Well, I don't choose because I haven't been there, but I'm here, but I am safe because, you know, I'm doing what the government wants me to do.
Okay. So you feel safe among all these individuals out here?
Yes.
How do you get your news regarding the coronavirus?
I probably listen to it, I'll be on the radio, people walking past with a radio or watch the TV.
So you're not getting any cohesive information. You're just kind of word of mouth and maybe you hear a radio or a TV where they may mention it here or there.
Yeah.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and income poops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative Radio Show. Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative Radio Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Calling all followers of the NPC. Join the Grassroots Mama and Free King every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time for a fun and engaging video gaming experience that will help familiarize you with blockchain, natural law, and more. Come join us and have a blast while learning something new.
All right, we are back with another compare contrast. Daniel 1:12, try, I pray thee, thy servants 10 days, and they give to us of the vegetables, and we eat, and water, and we drink. And he hearkeneth to them this word, and trieth them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance hath appeared better and fatter in flesh than any of the lads who are eating the king's portion of food. That verses First Corinthians 10:27, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake, as well as verses Romans 14:1, and I'm saying verses as in VS period, contrary. The one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Then we can look at Matthew 24:16. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, believe it not. And I mentioned this earlier, just out of my own commentary. Acts 9:7, Acts 22:9, and Acts 26:14, we have the contradictions of Paul, but also noting that they occurred in the desert. And the men which journeyed with Paul stood in Acts 9. It doesn't state stood or fallen in Acts 22. Acts 26, it says they were fallen, so there's a contradiction. Then in Acts 9, the men hearing a voice. Acts 22:9, heard not the voice. Acts 26, heard. So you've got two for heard, one for not heard. Again, a contradiction. And then in Acts 9:7, but seeing no man, Acts 22:9, saw indeed the light where the man was. Acts 26:14 does not state. And then this also leaves out the fact that in the first two examples, Acts 9 and Acts 22, Paul was told to go to the city where he would be told further what to do. Acts 26, he was told on the spot what to do. Contradictions. anybody that knows law knows that in a court of law, when one is brought before a judge to be determined as to whether their testimony is true or false, contradictory witnesses are considered invalid. They are not validated. And those are the cases in which court cases are lost on, when a witness cannot stick to their story. So why are we following this man instead of the Messiah? So then we have Luke 24:25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning at Moses, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:25 once again. Then we have Luke 13:27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And then if you take a look at what the name Paul means, it comes from the Hebrew, and you can look this up, the reference 6466 in the Hebrew, and it's got three symbols that mean P-A apostrophe A-L, which is the name for Paul. A primitive root to do or make systematically and habitually, especially to practice, commit, evildoer, maker, ordain, worker, worker of iniquity. But master, master, they said, but Paul said, but I'm not circumcised in my flesh, but I followed Paul. Paul kept the Sabbath. It's just got images of quotes from that the people might say in response to that, in objection of the Messiah saying that I never knew you, and his fulfillment of there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the anger of the people saying, we followed your chosen one, Paul. So next up, we start with the question, why do people believe that they can't be held accountable for their actions? Just blame the devil, others, and your flesh for not having self-control. Psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Ephesians 6:12, for you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Romans 7:17. So Paul is advocating for the fact that we can't overcome the flesh. And you hear Christians say that all the time. The Bible says, don't muzzle the ox that treads the wheat. 1 Corinthians 9:11. If I have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing I shall reap your carnal things? And furthermore, he is misquoting that about the ox as well, from the Old Testament, so... Interesting. We're going to take another little last round of breaks here.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Calling all followers of the NPCs. Join the Grassroots Mama and Free King every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time for a fun and engaging video gaming experience that will help familiarize you with blockchain, natural law, and more. Come join us and have a blast while learning something new.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
Calling all followers of the NPC. Join the Grassroots Mama and Free King every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time for a fun and engaging video gaming experience that will help familiarize you with blockchain, natural law, and more. Come join us and have a blast while learning something new.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, and we have just about another 10 minutes or so left in our program, so let's move right along and look at Team Yahuwah, Proverbs 17:15 and Exodus 23:7 versus Team Paul, Romans 4:5 and Romans 3:10. Proverbs 17:15, he that justifies the ungodly and he that condemns the righteous, even they both are abominations to Yahuwah. Exodus 23:7, I will not justify the ungodly. Spoken very plainly by the Father in heaven. Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That, again, is Romans 4:5. There are none righteous. Romans 3:10. So there you go. Complete and total opposites. Next we have Hebrews 6, Team Paul. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Team Paul. 1 Corinthians 4:18, Team Paul. And Matthew 13:19, which is also found in Mark 4:14 and Luke 8:5, Team Yahuwah. So let's read that first. They by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard and understand it not, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So now we're ready to look at Hebrews 6. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Messiah, let us go on unto perfection. 1 Corinthians 4:16, but ye followers of me, be ye followers of me. And of course he goes on to say, even as I am a follower of Christ, which he is not. So there you go. There's a stop for you. There's a yield sign for you. 1 Corinthians 4:20. believe it's 4:20. I don't see so well. Okay, yes, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word. And again, let's go back to the verse it contradicts and analyze it further. They by the wayside where the word is sown, where the word is sown, but when they have heard and understand it not, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Then we have Matthew 19:17 versus random guy quoting Paul. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. That's in Matthew 19:17, and random guy that follows Paul. But Paul said, we are saved by grace and not by works. Let's see. We could easily find that verse. I don't like leaving things unraveled for conjecture when we're into such a controversial topic. So let's look up. Let's see here. Saved by grace through faith. Verse. Okay, so that is going to be I think I messed it up by asking it to give me the verse. It was going to give me the verse. And then when I asked for the verse, it got ornery with me. Okay, so Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It says here, God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by our own efforts or works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, grace alone, faith alone. Okay, 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved. So that would be the verse that we're saying is opposite of Matthew 19:17. If thou wilt enter into life eternal, keep the commandments. A lot of Paulines will argue that the Messiah said this before he died and was resurrected, and therefore, through dispensationalism, Paul, his messenger, came and corrected all of the errors of the Messiah, and yet they believe Messiah's sinless. So, as do I, but if you're going to believe he's sinless, why then do you say that he erred in everything that he spoke while he was here and nullified it and crowned Paul his messenger? When all throughout the scriptures he warns us of Paul and says, I came in my Father's name, and yet you would not receive me, but one comes in his own name, him you will receive. Paul comes in his own name. So I would say he's talking about Paul. There is no other one that comes in his own name that has taken the whole message by storm and proliferated across the earth as the truth in place of what the Messiah spoke. Be it true or not, that's what Paul did. You know that I'm team, no, he did not. But most people, all Christians, say that he did replace the Messiah's words and that the Messiah allowed this because he needed his grace message that he died for to proliferate. Pretty astonishing. But don't take my opinion for it. Take a look at the book that was written and canonized using your own measuring stick after Paul was no more. That would be the book of Revelation, correct? Does the book of Revelation say that we are saved by grace or by works? Did you know that the book of Revelation, nowhere in the entire book does it say we are saved by grace? But at least half a dozen times it says that we will be judged by our works and that he that is found worthy will have right to the tree of life over and over and over. If you look at Revelations chapters 2 and 3, it's admonishing the seven churches that standing at that time, and each and every time they're being judged on their works and told, this one thing you must change or you are in danger. So that's not grace. That's the Messiah's words that he stood on in the beginning as proof. I'm offering you proof that they never changed. And he said they never would. Right? In the very last book of the Old Testament, the Yahuwah says that I change not. So a whole lot of things have to be swept under the carpet to make Paul's words correct in the first place. So finally, we can look at Matthew 13:28, an enemy hath done this. And then we can notate the books of the old, the books written by Paul, and consider them just one big dumpster fire with all of the contextual evidence given throughout this program, which we will offer you more next week. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Beware, they were either written by Paul or by one of his disciples, every one of those books. So I'm not saying don't read them. I'm saying read them and see for yourself versus Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see, as well as versus the Old Testament. But, hey, you know, for dispensationalists, they're not going to be convinced of anything from as evidence, using the Old Testament as evidence. So stick with the New Testament as your evidence, i.e. the other books of the New Testament not named here. Again, those books are, if you can hear it over my snoring pit bull, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. One last time, Romans, for those of you taking notes that don't want to rewind. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Now, if you want to do something very interesting and fun to do your own research on what we're talking about here, read Galatians, and then read Jude, then read Galatians again, then read Jude again, and going back and forth, and you will note that Jude and Paul are sparring with each other. It's very interesting. With that said, the end of our program has arrived, and so I bid all of you a wonderful Sunday afternoon and appreciate you sharing this fellowship time with me. Please consider calling in next week. Would love to have you, and shalom and bye for now.